Well, you know what? I did it again. I screwed up the sound on my video. You see, I knew that if I went over like 35 minutes, that my QuickTime freaks out, and I've been very, very careful, but today I just went for it, and I wasn't even thinking about the time, and the next thing I looked, I was at like 35, 37 minutes, and I said, oh no, but it'll be all right, and I stopped the audio, and I went to save it, gone, so now I have to use the onboard camera audio, but you know what? I think God did this on purpose. What do you know? God knew that I was going to be so insistent and so passionate about this topic that he knew that if my microphone picked it all up, it would be destroyed. And so he spared my microphone by divinely shutting it off. So I'm going to make the best of it. I'm going to change the framing. Sound. I'm going to change everything to give this video a unique look. And that's good because this video is unique. And now I bring to you a video with compromised sound, but divinely compromised to make this video more memorable to everybody. There's some great truth in this video about Christ as a human being that I don't think I've ever shared yet. And so I am thankful for this sect that has arisen because it is bringing out truth. This is valuable. Again, I'm glad this has happened. It's a God thing. The Word of God says that these things must occur, and we are all going to benefit from it. So I present to you a very unique video in every way.
If it break my heart, I'll go, but I'll be back again. Hey. Somebody commented yesterday, is it Martin? I need a change of topic. And I said, well, I need a change of body. So, yeah, we're all suffering together. But listen, I'm not going to change the topic if I have something new and enlightening to say about this. And I do, but I have great topics coming up next week. Different topics. I have an agenda. Now, that sounds like a bad word. I don't have an agenda. I have a program, and you are going to love it. Trust me, you're going to love it. I have some new insights into these non-pre-existent people. And you're going to get them today here on MZTV at the end of the week. I'm Martin Zenner, the world's most outspoken Bible scholar. I was voted as that for a reason. Now, this strange belief, thank you for indulging me. But again, I wouldn't be doing this if there's not something to learn. And I'm going to make a great point, if I don't mind saying so, about Christ not being one of us. See, the more these people talk, and boy, do they talk, I'm starting to see where they're coming from. It's so strange that it's hard to see where they're coming from, but I'm starting to see that they need Jesus Christ to be exactly like us. But that's very disturbing if you don't catch the disturbation of that. I said disturbation. No, it's a new word. I just made it up. If you don't catch the disturbation about that, then you will after today. This belief, the non-preexistence of Christ, it is not an organic belief. It's not a natural belief. It is something that has to be taught. It's something that has to be imposed on you. It is a construct. It's an artificial construct that really elevates human wisdom and rewards those who have a superior wisdom, because apparently us simple people that just believe the Bible, we can't get it. We just can't get it. And that should expose for everybody the folly of this teaching. Because if you just took the natural reading of scripture verses, we've given all the verses here. There's at least two dozen, but somebody told me there were 28. I believe it. We only need one. See, they don't even have one, but we have many, many, many. And a natural reading, a guileless reading, the reading of a child and understanding the plain and simple words of God. You could not possibly mistake that Jesus Christ had a glory with the Father before the world was. All things were created through him. Not one thing that came into existence has come into existence without him. He's the firstborn of all creation. He's the image of the invisible God. He descended from heaven. He emptied himself, coming to be in fashion as a human. His own testimony, the testimony of Paul, the testimony of John. I mean, it's loaded, loaded, loaded. And anybody, any, like I say, guileless person with no influences except the Spirit of God and the Scriptures, there is no possible way, no possible way you could come to the conclusion that Jesus Christ did not pre-exist. No possible way. So how does this happen? It must be taught to you by someone with an artificial scriptural construct. And I'm thinking of two particular people who I love dearly, who are my friends, Mark Haukes and Paula. They went to the same Bible college together back in the day. And Mark has admitted, the pirate, has admitted that he learned this from a professor in Bible college. And I thought, now we're getting somewhere. Now we're getting somewhere. This teaching has to be artificially imposed. And it would take a series of classes to talk one out of the natural, childlike, beautiful readings of these passages. It would take class after class after class. You'd have to sign up for this and pay good money for somebody to talk you out of the pre-Bethlehem glories of Christ. And so when I found out, when Mark admitted that, yeah, I was taught this by a professor, I wanted to know, please give us the name of the professor. He refuses to divulge it. He won't divulge it. I thought, why? If this is such a great teaching, and if you credit this teaching to a particular professor at the Bible college, then I would think that that person would be celebrated, not hid under a bushel barrel. Or is it a bushel basket? Well, in this case, a barrel, I think. A barrel's bigger than a basket. So I adjure the pirate today. I adjure him by Bluebeard, Blackbeard, Johnny Depp, any robber of the seas who has ever dug his seedy, greedy hands into a treasure chest full of doubloons. I adjure you to give us the name. Oh, I also adjure you by the living God. But please give us the name of this professor so we can research him. I'd like to know his motive. I'd like to know where he went to school. I'd like to know what else he believes. I'd like to see his teaching techniques. We have a new player at the table, though, and it is Mary Catherine. And this is interesting. I don't know Mary Catherine. Sure, she's a nice person. Anybody who's in that Bible study group, so Mark is in a Bible study group, Mary Catherine is in this Bible study group, and Paula is in the Bible study group. They meet online, FaceTime or whatever, which is great. But I think it's interesting that they all believe this same thing. It's not like I'm not foul play afoot. Well, foul play, I guess you could say, if a professor induced this on people who, without the professorial interference, would never have thought of it. How would anybody ever have thought of this? All right, but the new player at the table here, Mary Catherine, I'm quoting her from before yesterday. She says this, and this is where I'm going to give you a good teaching on the nature of Jesus Christ. So I'm glad for this quote. Our very hope of salvation is hinged upon Jesus being one of us. Let me repeat that. Quote, Mary Catherine, don't know her last name. Our very hope of salvation is hinged upon Jesus being one of us. Mary Catherine, no. Our very hope of salvation is hinged upon Jesus not being one of us. Not being one of us. Yes, he came to be in the likeness of humanity, but he was not one of us. He was not of the Adamic breed of humanity, because the Adamic breed, or maybe I should use a different word than breed, because I want to compare this to the priesthood. Now, I'm going to use breed as a placeholder. The Adamic breed of humanity is laden down by sin and death. And yet Jesus Christ had no sin. We could not have been saved by someone who was like us. Later, she says that he was fully one of us. She says this later in the quote, the idea, and by the way, it's not an idea, I'm going to get to that, the idea that Jesus literally existed as something else before he was born is an attack on Jesus being fully one of us. Yeah, well, I'll attack Jesus fully being one of us all day. That's not the reason I'll do it. I'm going to get to that later. But I want to emphasize this, and it's the same thing I heard Peter May say. He is fully, that's a loaded word. This is their teaching. I'm starting to realize, maybe it's not completely an overreaction to the Trinity or an overreaction to tradition. They are straining to make Jesus Christ fully one of us. The Son of God. If he's fully one of us, then he would have to be a sinner. Mary Catherine, was Jesus Christ a sinner? Did he sin? Maybe your answer is yes. Then we've got a whole new discussion here. Can't wait for that one. But if your answer is no, then you misspoke. You better clarify yourself. You resent anything that's an attack on Jesus being fully one of us. Well, again, anybody with scriptural sense will attack anybody saying that Jesus is fully one of us. He was the last Adam. He was Adam as a figure of retention, that is, retaining the term Adam for sake of the comparison with the first Adam, but he was not of an Adamic sinning nature or dying nature. He was a new breed of human race that is closely related to Adam. But it's not Adam, or else he couldn't have saved us. This smacks of the doctrine of substitution, that Jesus Christ's death was a substitutionary death, as if any of us could have gone to the cross instead of him, and we could have saved ourselves. That's basically what this says. Jesus being fully one of us, then we could have saved ourselves. But since it's very, let's just say it's kind of inconvenient to line up every single human being ever born and have each of them crucified for the sake of convenience. One man was crucified for everybody, but he was fully one of us, and he was a substitute for us. But I say again, we do not need a substitute. We need a savior. We're drowning in a river of sin and death. A man drowning in a river does not need somebody to drown in his place. Does not need a substitutionary drowner. No, he was not like us. He was not mortal, and he was not a sinner. Please retract this statement or own it. Double down on it. Double down on it. That'd be a good one. Not really. That'd be terrible. Jesus Christ is a priest, but not according to the order. That's the word I'm looking for. I'll take away the placeholder breed, and I'll say the order. Jesus Christ was a human being, but not of the order of Adam. He's of the order of the last Adam. It's just like the new covenant. The new covenant is not a literal covenant. It's not a covenant at all. The old covenant was a true covenant in that it required cooperation on Israel's part. A covenant is a two-part deal. One party does its part and the other party does its part. That's a covenant. The new covenant is not a covenant. It's a figure of speech called retention, where we're retaining the old term covenant to relate it to that covenant, but it's completely different in that God does both parts. So it's not a covenant. A covenant is not one party doing both ends of it. And so you can see that it's called a covenant to relate it to the old covenant. Jesus Christ is called the last Adam to relate him to the first Adam, but he is not Adamic in that he was not hampered or beset or devastated by sin and death. He was also a priest, but not according to the order of Aaron, because he had to be a Levite to be a priest. So he's a new, or he's still a high priest. You see, we're retaining the term. Jesus Christ is high priest. Aaron was a high priest. Adam was a man. Jesus Christ is a man. I'm not saying Jesus Christ wasn't a human being. Adam was a human being. Jesus Christ was a human being. Why is he called the last Adam? For the same reason that the new covenant is called a new covenant, even though it's not a covenant. And Jesus Christ is called the high priest, even though he's of a completely different order. He's still a priest, the order of Melchizedek. Just like Jesus Christ is still a human being, but he's of a different order. We don't need a substitute. We don't need somebody that is one of us. So our very hope of salvation is hinged on Jesus not being one of us. Peter may have the same desire to make him one of us. So we have to, yeah, you're right. We have to award another t-shirt. All right. Give Mary Catherine a 0% divine t-shirt. Because, all right, there we go. A 0% divine t-shirt, Mary Catherine. You'll have one of our specially made t-shirts heading your way. Already sent one to Peter May. Anybody else who believes Jesus Christ was 100% human and 0% divine, well, let the world know what you think of Jesus. Let the world know what you think of the Son of God. Let the world know that he was just like you. And I scratch my head. I don't know how he attained to become the savior of the world. There was some alchemy during his life. Maybe it was his free will. Did he exercise his free will? I don't know. Did he take vitamins? How did he go from being 100% human? But maybe he stayed 100% human. These stories will have to explain to me how he became divine, or if he never became divine. He just became a damn good human. He was a damn good human. Better than us. How did he not sin? Did he concentrate out of it? What did he do? Take a certain vitamin that we don't even know about? Vitamin H14? What's vitamin H14? Exactly. Well, the secret vitamin only Jesus knew about. And that's how he became worthy to be the savior of the world. No, when he was born, he was not one of us. How do I know that? Because his father was God. His father was the Spirit. He was not produced by insemination. He was not produced by one of those little swimmy things that came out of Joseph's penis. No, no, no. But if he were fully one of us, that would be necessary. I must inform Catherine, Mary Catherine here, the virgin birth. Mary was a virgin. Joseph and Mary didn't do the chuka, chuka, chuka. No, they didn't. It was a divine insemination. As far as I know, that's never happened to anybody. And I would say, I feel pretty good saying this, that makes Jesus Christ not fully one of us. Not fully one of us. We can't be saved by one who is fully one of us. We have to be saved by someone not in our predicament. And this was a tight dance for God. This was a tightrope dance for God. Why do I say that? Well, because he had to come into the likeness of humanity. This is where the scriptural descriptions are so precise. He had to come into the likeness. He had to suffer like us and feel what we feel. And he did. He did. He was afflicted in all ways. He was tempted in all ways, says Paul in Hebrews, except without sin. Without sin, that's a giant difference that makes him not fully one of us. And yet, I quote again from Mary Catherine, who everybody, not everybody, but the Tories are impressed by Mary Catherine because she's a good writer. She can write. Woo! Good writer. But I didn't understand hardly anything she was saying. I couldn't connect. I could understand each paragraph individually. But when you try to sew it together, it didn't make any sense to me. I'm a fairly intelligent person. The scripture verses that I believe make total sense to me. Total sense to me. That Jesus Christ emptied himself. Got to get to that. Yeah, but for her to say that, quote, the idea that Jesus literally existed as something else before he was born is an attack on Jesus being fully one of us. Well, again, I will attack Jesus being fully one of us all day long because he's not fully one of us. Should I go down to that verse now? All right, let's do it. I mean, I'm going to pick apart this statement. This is the risk you folks take. You know this. When you write a public comment, you're at risk of me picking it apart. I'm not mad at any of these people. I'm puzzled by them. I'm not mad at them. I would welcome any of them into my home. I've welcomed the pirate into my home. Paula is terrific. Mary Catherine, I don't know her, but I'm sure she's terrific. One thing in common, one thing the Tories have in common is they write lengthy. Her email goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 paragraphs or whatever. They have to write a lot because it takes a lot of spleening to get rid of those pesky 28 verses. A lot of spleening. Quote, the idea, it's not an idea. The idea that Jesus literally existed as something else before he was born is an attack on Jesus being fully one of us. One thing, it's not an idea. He did exist as something else. And even after he came to earth, he was something else. His whole life, he was something else. What was he? He was a human being without sin. He was a human being in whom death was not operating. He had to lay down his own life. He never was one of us. He was something else. You call that an idea? It's not an idea. It's a scriptural fact. He was the Son of God, the firstborn of all creation, God's creative original, the creator of the eons. Fully one of us? I don't think any of us could have created the eons. I can't even put a table together. I can't even follow simple instruction. I couldn't have created the eons. I might have been able to have everything come out of me, all created through me, not one thing that came into existence came into being. Yeah, if I concentrated and I drank an extra cup of coffee, I think I could have done that, but I could not have created the eons. No, couldn't have created the eons. And I never voluntarily came into fashion as a human. I just showed up here. But see, they think Jesus was just like us. He just showed up, never volunteered for any of this, was a victim of it just like us. Wonder what the hell happened, you know, instead of voluntarily, out of love, out of compassion, became one, not one of us, but one like us. I will say that. He was like us. Two arms, two legs, a head. He could feel pain. He had emotions. Was very much like us. Just like there's some monkeys, you know, that look very much like this. Two arms, two legs, a head. And this tricks the evolutionists. And I'm afraid that Jesus Christ having two arms, two legs, and a head has tricked you, Tories. It's tricked you into thinking that he is fully one of us. You see, the chimpanzee, the orangutan, they're not fully one of us. Okay? They feel pain. They drink. They eat. They have sex. And boy, do they have sex. So I hear. I haven't watched any of the videos or anything. So, anyway. Yeah. So you're tricked. There are many, many, many similarities, but there are crucial differences that are essential for him to be our Savior. The idea that Jesus literally existed, what do you mean? It's not an idea. Paul says plainly in Philippians 2, 6, 7, that Jesus Christ was inherently in the form of God. I have never existed in the form of God. Now, back when I was 18, 19 years old, even when I was in my 30s, I was lifting some weights and I looked pretty good. I was in the form of Charles Atlas. I was in the form of Superman. I was in the form of the Incredible Hulk, but I had never been in the form of God. And yet, he was. So how is this an idea that Jesus literally existed as something else? It's not an idea. Scripture is loaded with it. And again, even when he was on earth, he was something else. Close, but something else. Before he was born, is an attack on Jesus being fully born. And this post was praised. Oh, Mary Catherine, what wisdom. That was an amazing post. Thank you for the beautiful post. Mark complimented her. Like, this, Jesus Christ is fully one of us. Do you believe that, Mark? Jesus Christ had no sin? That Jesus Christ was a sinner and had mortality coursing through his veins? You congratulated her for this great comment. So you believe that Jesus Christ was fully one of us. Somebody get a t-shirt for Haukus. What size do you wear, Mark? Medium. What color? Do we have it in red? No, sir, we don't have it in red. Blue? Do we have a blue? Okay. Another 0% divine t-shirt coming to Mark Haukus, who congratulated Catherine on this amazing post. Just amazing. I comment here. I don't know if I wrote this comment. Oh, John 17:5. Glorify me with the glory I had with you before the world was. That's not an idea. I couldn't have come up with this idea. To call that the idea that Jesus literally existed as something else. The idea. Why, the very idea of it. I couldn't have ever come up with this. It's not my idea. It's God's idea. And he literally existed because he himself said his own testimony, John 17:5, Father, glorify me with the glory I had with you before the world was. That's before he was born. It's way before he was born. It's before the world even came into being. Why? Well, he created it. It came into being through him. 1 Corinthians 8:6, John, all of chapter 1. I mean, Colossians 1, 16 through 20. But don't give a scripture verse to a Tory. Don't do it. It'll just frustrate you because they won't address it. The only one with balls enough to address it is Aaron Welch. And it's so hard to oppose these verses that it takes him 100,000 words to explain it away. That's ballsy. I'll give him that. Oh, and somebody said, Martin, what if you have to... I think it was Peter May. You're going to be ashamed. You're going to be ashamed at the dais of Christ. I am? I don't want you to suffer loss at the dais of Christ. I don't want you to suffer loss, sir. How am I going to suffer loss? I will gladly apologize to Christ at the dais. I thought you were much... You did much more, and you were much more than it's turned out you actually are. Yes, I thought that you, like... emptied yourself and came to be with us, like took the form of humanity. No, but I gotta be honest with you, sir. What threw me up was a verse that said you emptied yourself, came to be in the fashion of a human. Being in the form of God previously, you emptied yourself. That threw me off. I'm sorry, what? Yes, I did think that everything came into being through you, and nothing that came into being did not come into being through you. I thought it was that great. What? That verse threw me off. That everything came into existence through you. That really threw me off. So I'm hoping you get leniency here, because you sure made it difficult not to believe that with that verse. Say again. Yes, I believe that you descended out of heaven. I didn't know. How was I to know that you started in Bethlehem? Yes, there was a verse that threw me off there. Also, the one that said you descended out of heaven. That, if that, you really kind of made it difficult for me not to believe these things. Well, because it said you created the eons. You created the eons. God created the eons through you. In fact, God did everything through you. Okay, well, now I know nothing came into being through you. You didn't create anything. You didn't create the eons. You didn't create anything. But again, Lord, please, I beg for mercy, because what threw me off were those scripture verses. It said you created everything. It said you created the eons. I just believed as a child. I tried not to be distracted by philosophies, by people trying to explain what the word meant. I'm a very simple person, and I read the words on the page. I'm a good translation. I would use the concordant literal translation, Lord. I get a pat on the head for that. Great. Yeah, so I'm sorry. I thought you were that great. I thought you were much more, much more, much more. And again, it was the damn verses. Sorry. Oh, I didn't mean to use that word. It was the dang verses. So I'm sorry, Lord.
Why didn't you just go to Bible college?
I don't know, Lord. I'm sorry. I just figured I could read the scriptures and believe them for what they said. I mean, you know, allowing for figures of speech.
Silence! If you had gone to Bible college, you could have understood Paula and the pirate. And maybe even Mary Elizabeth.
I could have understood Mary Elizabeth?
Well, maybe that's a bit of a stretch, but why didn't you go to Bible college?
Lord, you just asked me that.
Oh, you thought you could believe as a child, huh?
I thought the word could speak for itself, and that, you know, I could
could believe as a child,
yes.
Huh?
Yes, like a child. Like a simple child.
Without professors and philosophers and professional theologians.
Exactly.
Without having the verses explained by 50,000 word articles by Aaron Willis.
Right. Right, Lord. I'm glad you finally understand.
No, I don't understand. Bible college has put the finishing touch on what I couldn't finish.
What you couldn't finish?
I mean, Bible college professors and philosophers and convoluted explanations of simple verses are the only way to...
Hey, wait a minute. You sound an awful lot like the Christian God.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Toto! But can you imagine the Tories? Ho-ho! Can you imagine being a Tory after the day of Christ? We didn't believe any of that shit you said about yourself. We didn't believe any of it. Yes, I know you said you created the eons, but we thought like it was a concept that created the eons. Huh? Yeah, I know you said you emptied yourself, you were in the form of God, emptied yourself, you know, came to be in fashion as a human, but we thought it was a concept that emptied itself. Like the concept. Yeah, I know, Lord, it didn't say concept, but we just figured it was a concept. Well, it was because of some professor somewhere. He said it was a concept, so... Yeah, he was a part-time philosopher, that's true. Oh, boy, this is awful. So you really did descend from heaven? You didn't start in... Oh, shit. Yeah, we know there was a verse that said you descended from heaven, but again, Lord, please, we thought it was a concept that descended from heaven. It's a concept. Sorry, Lord. Oh, I would not want to be a Tory at the Deus of Christ. No, I would not. And I noticed something. Do I have time here? Oh, look at the time. I gotta meet Manfred for pool here pretty soon. Mary Catherine falls into the trap. It's a trap. The rest of the Tories fall into it too, of thinking that because we existed only in the mind of God. Now, we did not pre-exist. We were not gallivanting around in heaven before we came to earth. They say we were foreknown from before the disruption of the world, Ephesians chapter 1, we were foreknown. And even conceding, which, for the sake of argument, that Jesus Christ was, that the 1 Peter 1:19, instead of talking about the blood of Christ, comparing it to the blood of the Lamb, even if that was talking about Christ being foreknown, I got no problem with that. But the illogical conflation that the Tories jump to is that because we are said to be foreknown, and because Jesus was said to be foreknown, therefore, and because we didn't pre-exist, therefore Jesus didn't pre-exist. Did you catch that? Before, because we were foreknown and Jesus was foreknown, but we didn't exist beforehand, therefore Jesus didn't exist beforehand. This, I would definitely not even want to hint that I believe that at the deus of Christ. This is basically having the audacity to make us equal with Christ. As if there's no difference between us and Christ. Well, we were both foreknown. We didn't exist, so obviously since Christ is one of us, he's just like us and he didn't pre-exist. How could you say that? Because he's just like us. He's just one of us. How could he pre-exist? He's fully one of us. 100% human, 0% divine. Order your t-shirt today. Just in time for Christmas. Not really, it's getting late. A little too late for Christmas, sorry about that, but that makes us equal to Christ. Even though, notwithstanding the fact that we did not empty ourselves, coming to be in fashion as a human, we are not the firstborn of all creation. Here's some differences between us and Christ. And this is talking about Christ, not a concept or a theory. Okay. Sorry for all the philosophical professors out there. I know this is hard to take. We cannot say that before Abraham was, I am. I can't say that. I would never say that. Well, yeah, it depends on how much you had to drink. Before Abraham was, I am. Not in my right mind would I ever say that. We're not the image of God. We're made in the image of God, but we're not the image of God. There's a big difference. Must be specific here, please. We didn't create the eons like I told you. I couldn't have done it. I can't even put a table or a chair together. I can't do the most simple mechanical task. Maybe I could have created 2 eons, but 5 eons? No. Beyond my capabilities. And it cannot be said that all things came into being through us. So, even though Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and us were both foreknown, that doesn't mean that everything that applies to us applies to Christ, because Christ is different than us. Let me give you a simple example of this kind of logic. Since Paul McCartney and I both wear pants, therefore I was in the Beatles. That's the caliber of the logic here. And they rely heavily on that. They rely heavily on that foreknowledge and our non-preexistence, and then conflating our experience with Christ's experience as if we're the same. But they do think we're the same. So I guess it's a simple leap for them to make. Not a problem at all. So I am going to read one comment, then I'm going to close. I'm going to read a comment. Oh, you look at the time. I'm going to read a comment that I made on the website. She said, Mary Catherine said, remember, that verse is speaking about the man Christ Jesus, Christ Messiah, emptied himself. It's not speaking of the spirit being. Here we go. Boy, for a verse. If we only had a verse. Oh, wait, we do. Philippians 2, 6, 7. But she says that verse doesn't mean that because it's speaking about the man Christ Jesus. Okay, no problem with the man Christ Jesus emptying himself. My answer was, now I see part of the problem. Finish the sentence, Mary Catherine. Christ Jesus emptied himself, coming to be in the likeness of humanity. You are adding, it is not speaking of the spirit being. Why do you put spirit being, for one thing, in quotation marks? Why are you even trying to guess whether Christ Jesus, before emptying himself, was a spiritual human being or a human being spirit? It's not in view at all here. That topic is not in view. Well, what was he before he came to earth? Was he a spiritual human? Did he have arms and legs? What did he look like? It's irrelevant. Totally irrelevant. It's not in view. And for one thing, you're refusing to believe this scripture verse. And one of the reasons is you're inserting a problem here, or you're inserting a supposition that's not even being considered. You're inserting your own concept or your own idea of what kind of body he had before he emptied himself. But that's irrelevant. It's, you're distracting from the entire point of the verse. Well, we don't know what kind of body he was in. It's irrelevant. It doesn't say, so we're not supposed to know. We're just supposed to know what it says. You artificially create, Mary Catherine, you artificially create a relevancy of what kind of body was he in order to distract from the fact that you don't believe this verse. Okay. I think I've done enough damage for today. It's been my pleasure and privilege. More next week. I'm going to run another video from Des Moines last week. Thank you for your comments on yesterday's video. And if something else pops up that I can bring enlightenment on the nature and the glories of Jesus Christ, I will do it.